السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, you will be listening to the virtues of Ramadan throughout the month of Ramadan. But also it is necessary that before the month of Ramadan, we should listen to some virtues of this Mubarak month. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he addressed the Sahaba kiram on the eve of Ramadan. And there is a lengthy hadith which is recorded in the books of hadiths, in the Fazail Ramadan also it is there. From that hadith we understand that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Sahabas of the importance of this Mubarak month which was coming. What are the virtues, what are the fazail, and what should be done in the month. As far as the normal fazail are concerned, normal virtues are concerned, we all understand. We say that if you fast, then you get this sawab, you get that sawab. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran Sharif that the purpose of this fasting having been made obligatory upon the ummah is la'allakum tattaqoon. So that you develop within yourself this sifat of taqwa, this sifat of restraining yourself from everything and anything that is displeasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This sifat of abstaining from everything that is haram and prohibited. This sifat of doing everything that Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered. Now if a person keeps fast in the month of Ramadan and at the end of the month he has attained the sifat of taqwa, then we will say that indeed he has attained that which fast was prescribed for. But if fasting is merely the abstinence from food and drink, then if we have to look at the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam informs us very clearly that rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min suyamihi illa al-ju wa rubba qa'imin laysa lahu min qiyamihi illa as-sahr. There are so many fasting people that they get nothing from their fast except hunger and thirst. They fast for such a long day, 16 hours, 18 hours, and in some countries even 20 hours. After having gone through all that kind of mujahada, all that kind of difficulty, and at the end of it, Rasulullah says that they got nothing from it except hunger and thirst, nothing else. And many people stay awake the night, they will make ibadah, they will make zikr, they will make tilawat, they will do all kinds of nawafil. But at the end of it, they got nothing but loss of sleep. So what it clearly shows is that there is a purpose behind this fast. And that is that we should develop in ourselves the sifat of taqwa. There are many reasons or there are many benefits of fasting, there are many benefits of performing the salat, there are many benefits of undertaking hajj, there are many benefits of giving zakat. Now all these things have got different benefits. But we won't say that that is the purpose. The purpose is whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. For example, if people say that the day of Jummah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said people must come around from all the different localities and have a big congregation, one place. The purpose of that is so that they become some sort of unity amongst the ummah. So then tomorrow somebody can come up and say that for the sake of unity in the ummah, we don't have to go to the masjid on a Friday. Why not let's have a nice football match and invite the whole ummah to have a good game and we can have more unity. Or somebody else can come up with some other idea. So we will say that these are benefits, but they are not the objects. So here also the objective of this fasting is that the person develops taqwa. Now there are many ibadat and many laws of Sharia which we fulfill, which we undertake, and there are many which we do not. We are very, very negligent. But even those which we undertake, we are very negligent. For example, a large part of the ummah does not have salat in their lives. A large part of the ummah. And yet Rasulullah ﷺ said that the position of salat in deen is like the position of the head in the human body. But the large part doesn't have the head. So if there is no head, then what are we complaining about? Without a head, the body is dead. So if the large part of the ummah doesn't even have the head, then do we have any right to complain? Nevertheless, so there are certain things which we do not even have in our lives. And certain things which we do have, but even they we are negligent. For example, this fasting. A number of people keep fast. A large part of the ummah does also, or some part of the ummah does make salat. Some part of the ummah does undertake hajj and give zakat. But even in those things that we undertake, there's so much of negligence and shortcoming and weakness, which we do not even realize and recognize. Therefore, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one hadith, which I mentioned I think last year also, in that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati, falahu ajru miyati shaheed. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam, that the person who holds fast to my sunnat, my way, when there's fasad in the ummat, when there's mischief, when there's corruption, when there's all kinds of fitna in the ummat, at that time the person who holds fast to my sunnat, then for him will be the reward of 100 martyrs. And when the sahabas questioned Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those 100 martyrs from us or from their time, that means from amongst us now or from the martyrs of the sahabas, then Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, never, from amongst you. Now imagine that kind of reward Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to give to the person who at the time of fasad in the ummat will hold fast to the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now generally when we discuss this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we will talk about the miswak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We will talk about the beard of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Or we will talk about the kurta of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Or we will talk about the tasbihat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Or any other sunnat of going to bed or getting up, what should you do early part of the morning, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to read, and before he used to go to sleep, what he used to read after eating, before meals, etc., etc. Now indeed, each and every one of this sunnat is a very great sunnat. We should not look at it with the eye of insignificance, that they are insignificant. Na'uzu billah, if the person considers the smallest sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is insignificant, then he loses his iman. We must not consider it insignificant. However, there are stages that what is more important than the other. But the point that I am bringing across to you is this, that those sunnats we will discuss. And one sunnat that people always ask about is, what is sunnat? To eat the sweet meat before the biryani or eat the sweet after the biryani? So the sweet sunnats we all know very well, and we inquire also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati. And if you have to look at Mirqat Sharif, commentary of Mishkat Sharif, then there, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he explains in detail that what does this mean? Say that when in the ummat there's corruption, when in the ummat there is indulgence in major and minor sins without any concern at all. I'm just giving the explanation. That when people are neglecting their salat, neglecting their fasting, neglecting their hajj and zakat, when they are indulging in fornication, in adultery, in stealing, in gambling, and in every kind of sin, when there's so much of fasad in the ummah, that the person who wants to obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is looked upon as somebody who is abnormal. The person who wants to obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the abnormal person. And the person who is indulging in all those sins, then he is a normal person. When these times come, then at that time to hold fast to a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the person will get the reward of 100 martyrs. So we discuss all the other sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whereas another very important sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was, how did he spend his day whilst he was fasting? How many of us find out about that sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? That how did he spend his day whilst he was fasting? Because that is a sunnat. And if in these days of fasad, when people are spending their time in the month of Ramadan, gambling, or if not placing any bets, but at the same time they are passing time playing cards, watching the television, indulging in backbiting and all other sins. When the people say we do not know how to pass time, so they're going to the football ground, the cricket ground, when they are going to other areas of sin and vice, but they are fasting. So at such a time, when the person holds fast to this sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that means the manner and method in which he observed his fast, then this person will get the reward of 100 martyrs, because it is difficult to practice that kind of fast in the society that we live in. So the reward is also very, very great. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person will get that kind of reward because there's fasad all around. His friends are going to those places. His friends are indulging in all those sins. His family is indulging in those sins. Now at such a time, this person is staying away from it, so it is a pressure on his nafs. So his reward also will be tremendously increased. So Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that 5 things break your fast. 5 things break the fast. Speaking lies, he said, breaks your fast. Making ghibat, it breaks your fast. Taking a false oath or qasam, it breaks your fast. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that casting a lustful glance, it breaks your fast. Now if you go and ask any mufti of the world, that whilst I was fasting, I was casting lustful glances at 101 women. Did my fast break? Then that mufti will say, your fast didn't break, you don't have to keep qaza and you don't have to give kafara. If we have to ask any mufti that I made ghibat, did my fast break? They will say, no, your fast did not break. Now that is the masla, that we are fortunate that the jurists, they have made things easy for us. And what they have said, that what this hadith sharif means, is that that person, he has deprived himself of a perfect fast, and his fast is as if he did not fast. It is as if he did not fast. For if they had to declare that as also breakers of fast, then I don't think any one of us would have been left who did not have to give kafaras or did not have to keep qazas. But at the same time, it conveys a very strong message that that fast in which there is ghibat, there's backbiting, there's gossiping, there's carrying tales, there is indulgence in haram, in sins, then that is as if the person hasn't kept any fast. From the masla point of view, the person will say he has kept a fast, he has observed a fast. Therefore, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different ahadith he has warned. In one hadith, when the person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, in one other hadith is about 2 women, and in another hadith is about 1 person came to him, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, you have already broken your fast. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I haven't. I am fasting. He says, I can smell the flesh of your dead brother from your mouth. The flesh of a dead brother, when a person is making ghibat, then it's eating the flesh of the dead brother. Now the person abstained from that which was halal, from food and drink which was halal, and from relationship with his wife which was halal. But because it was Allah Ta'ala's hukam, so the person restrained himself. And now he's indulging in those things which were haram all his life. So how can that person expect to get rewards for that fast? That is the reason that we fast the whole month, and at the end of the month we are still in square one. We haven't taken off at all. Yet if we had taken off and we had developed that level of taqwa that was required, and the level of taqwa, when we talk about, we get ideas. That level of taqwa means that the person must read now 100,000 times or 10,000 times this tasbih or that tasbih, or the person must stand on one leg on the shore of the ocean and then he must read this tasbih, or he must dig up one grave and sleep inside and do something. So then that will be taqwa. Taqwa is just restraining oneself from that which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited and doing that which Allah Ta'ala has ordered. Now, if the person had developed this in a month of Ramadan, then Allah Ta'ala's promises will be fulfilled, and it has been fulfilled for millions of people, then why not for us? In which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That the person who has taqwa, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will find a way out for him in his problems. Everyone is complaining about different kinds of problems. Why are we not finding solution to our problems? Because there is a lack of taqwa. It just cannot be that we have got taqwa and there's no way out of our problems. Because Allah Ta'ala is promising in the Quran Sharif. And if it is a question of poverty, it's a question of no food and no sustenance, then Allah Ta'ala says that He will provide from sources unknown to that person. It has happened, it is happening, and it will happen. The condition is that we have to develop this. So therefore, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shaheed, then we must understand that that is a great sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, that how did he spend his day in the month of Ramadan. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's days in the month of Ramadan, where they spent in backbiting, where they spent in watching something that was haram and filthy and dirty to watch, in any kind of obscene or shameless deed or action. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's day was spent in fasting, his fasting day was spent in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in jihad, in dawat, in tabligh, in all these kind of activities Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's day used to be spent. So if we cannot put a complete stop to all activities in the month of Ramadan, the ideal would have been that we put a complete stop to all other activities and we spend this 1 month at least as it should be spent. Because it's a guest who is being sent by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to us. And we know that the more honored the guest, the more rights he has over us. And this guest is not a guest who is going to cause any burden or is going to impose upon us something. Nothing. This guest is going to bring with it so much of barakat and so much of rahmat and so much of mercy of Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how he spent his day in Ramadan, to spend it like that, that is following the sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now that sunnat, how many of us find out about? Nevertheless, so the ideal would have been that. But if we cannot go for the ideal because of our weakness, then at least we abstain from everything that is haram and forbidden, even if we cannot make too much of ibadat. We do a little bit of tilawat, a little bit of zikr and ibadat. If we cannot do too much, at least abstain from everything that is haram. Make up our niyats and our minds that this Ramadan, we don't want to indulge in anything that is displeasing to Allah. And we also want to taste that enjoyment of getting taqwa in our lives. There's an enjoyment. Allah Ta'ala wants to give it to us. And therefore is giving us this ideal opportunity where the shayateen are chained. It's only the nafs that we have to fight against. So if we cannot go for the ideal, then at least we look at all our activities of the day and see how much of that is absolutely useless and futile and not worthy of indulging in. Or even if it is useful, even if it is part of our business or whatever it may be, how much of it we can curtail so that we find time for our ibadat, so that when we come for our taraweeh, we are not exhausted, so that we are looking forward to the nights of Ramadan. There are so many people, if they have to close their businesses at 4:30 in the month of Ramadan, what difference will it make? Or even if they have to close at 4 o'clock, wallah, I can take qasam upon qasam upon qasam in this masjid and tell you that at the end of the month you see your earnings and your profits. There will be no difference at all. In fact, probably it could be increased. It has been tried out. I'm giving you just a very conservative time, 4 o'clock. It has been tried out much earlier than that. Allah Ta'ala will send the same customers within that time. Allah is the provider of rizq and He has already finalized how much you are going to get for the day. If you say my neighbor is staying open till 6 o'clock, so he will take the customers away. So if he is going to open till 8 o'clock, will you remain open till midnight? And then what about those Muslim staff of ours? And especially those who talk about women's rights, and they say the women's rights are being suppressed, then they must take a stock of their own lives first. If they are taking their wives to the businesses, then check their lives first, how much of suppression they are undertaking. Those women, have some mercy upon them. Early part of the morning they are making our sehri. And after sehri they must just start preparing for the children to go to school and all the rest of it. And after that, they were dragged away to the businesses at 7 o'clock in the morning. The whole day they are there standing on their feet. And at the end of the day, when they are exhausted and tired, they must come and give us iftar. And after iftar, they must still make the Tarawih Salat. Then where is that woman's rights that we are talking about? We are just getting caught up with all these beautiful slogans. We are the one who are suppressing those rights. We are the one who are making zulm on them. And they think that it's a kind of a liberation. But after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that three people's dua are not rejected at all. The fasting person when he opens the fast. The ruler who is very just and fair. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and the person who is oppressed. When that person makes dua, then Allah Ta'ala says, He raises it above the clouds. And He says, I will definitely answer your dua, even if it means after some time. Now you tell me that on the one hand, a person is fasting. So his dua is supposed to be accepted. And on the other hand, he has made zulm on his staff, on his family, on his wife, on his children. He has made zulm on his neighbors. Now he's making zulm on one side, he's doing injustice to so many different people, and on the one side he is fasting. So his dua is supposed to be accepted because he was a fasting person. But if it is not accepted, then look on the other side also, that probably that what is the condition with regards to the rights of others. So because of our injustices, our duas are also not being accepted. It is like two trucks. One is not giving the other way. The dua of the fasting person should have been accepted, so that's one truck of ni'mat, of rahmat, of maghfirat, of all the best. And on the other hand, now there's zulm and injustice, so now that truck is stopping that dua from getting accepted. So this is, the time has expired. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq to fast in this month of Ramadan as we should be fasting. And then if we make duas for our brothers of Palestine and Chechnya and Bosnia and Kashmir and other parts of the world, if the ummah fasts as it should be fasting, then inshallah the duas at the time of iftar of so many millions, over a billion, will not be rejected. But the condition is that we must fast as we should be observing this month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, I am forced to say Alhamdulillah. Normally if a person passes away, it grieves one. But Alhamdulillah, Haji Hussain Khan Sahib, who was our trustee from the early days of this masjid, Allah Ta'ala gave him such a Mubarak maut. And one of the things that he always said is that, Maulana, mera ji chahta hai ki har kaam sunnat ke mutabik ho, har kaam sunnat ke mutabik ho. Mujhe bahut pareshani hoti hai jab main kisi kaam ko dekhta hoon sunnat ke khilaf. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala rewarded him with a day in which the person is already forgiven. The azab of qabr is lifted. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give him the highest of stages, give sabr to his family, and give us the tawfiq also of bringing piety and taqwa in our lives, so that we too get blessed with some mubarak days and get forgiveness. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems that the entire ummah is facing. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.